This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, couple things here on the top story of the day. The NFL, of course, King, get it, schedule release was amazing. However, a lot of fans are upset. And I see why. And they're critical and criticizing the NFL for their streaming model, for what they're going to do. The NFL airs 87% of its games on free broadcast networks. That's what, CBS, Fox, NBC, ABC. But the league is kind of under fire right now. They're adding games on platforms such as Netflix. But the NFL says, we love our model. We're fine with everything. NFL Executive Vice President of Media Distribution, Hans Schroeder, said, we love our model. We think we have the most fan-friendly model there is of any sport or entertainment as far as distribution, which they probably do. He says, we think broadcast networks have been an incredible home. And now we also know fans are increasingly spending their time on other platforms as well. They tune in to broadcast for the NFL, and that's where we want to be. But we also want to be on these platforms with a limited amount of our games where we know our NFL fans are already as well. When we're going on to Netflix, we're going on to a platform that is already massively adopted and a huge number of viewers on that platform already, including a huge number of NFL fans. Now, President Donald Trump criticized the NFL, said, he's telling the NFL, basically, that, hey, you've got people that love football. They're great people. They don't make enough money to go and pay this. It's tough. Asked whether the government would intervene. President Trump said, I don't know, but I don't like it. No, the government should not intervene in this. Michael, I have all the platforms, so I don't enjoy it. My favorite thing is being able to watch games and then during commercial breaks or whatever, I can quickly tune away on my DirecTV. But for me personally, it's not the end of the world. How do you feel? I suppose it depends. There's plenty of people, Michael, that actually don't have the regular TVs now, the DirecTV and all that. They have more of the streaming apps. There's also plenty of people that don't have every single streaming app, the Amazon Prime stuff, the Netflix, all of that. So according to ESPN, the Justice Department reportedly has begun reviewing the NFL's broadcast distribution decisions for potential anti-competitive tactics related to Sports Broadcasting Act, or SBA. The SBA grants the NFL limited antitrust protection and allows the league to negotiate TV rights packages. Huh. Well, I guess it doesn't bother me that much because I'm being selfish. It doesn't affect me, to be real honest. How about this one, Michael? According to Yahoo Sports, the NFL will not be reviewing any of the team's videos, their scheduled release videos, for jokes surrounding New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel ahead of Thursday night's annual schedule release, per front office Sports. The league is letting teams use their own judgment regarding potential content about Vrabel's connection with Diana Russini. Michael, did you see any that I just saw the Chargers had one? They did like the cupcake thing and something about 100 pictures upload. I don't know. I didn't see any obvious digs or jokes about Vrabel or Russini. Maybe there were a couple, but maybe I missed them. But is that really something that needed to be said? Hey, we're not going to be reviewing teams for making jokes around Mike Vrabel. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Still crack up at the Patriots schedule release video. Let's go with the most, like, the one thing, one of the, you know, one of two things that we're not really going to argue about or get upset with. And let's just put puppies running around and chasing after stuffed animal mascots of the teams we're facing. And yet they still received criticism for that. Deion Sanders says Shedeur Sanders endured hell in pre-draft as a rookie with the Browns. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Got to talking about it, I suppose, and he said, quote, "When he takes off his shirt, I see the scars on his back that he's been through hell, but he's made it through hell." He was on an episode or an interview with The Barbershop that was posted on Thursday. It was on YouTube. He said he kept going and he matured. Not like he was a child, but he matured spiritually. You can't force this. If it ain't your time, it ain't your time. I mean, Mike, everything that Shedeur Sanders went through, he created that. Good or bad or whatever, he wasn't drafted in the first round. Many of us thought he might get drafted in the top five. Then it drifted to the top 10. Then suddenly, whoa, Pittsburgh might take him in the top 20. Then he fell out of the first round. Then he fell out of the second. Then we were wondering if he was actually even going to get drafted. But he set this up. He created his own little draft room. Went through time, effort, and money to put this together because he just assumed he was going to be picked in the first round. And so he set this thing up where it's all about him. And then when it fell and he goes to the fifth, it was embarrassing. But that's on you. And you know, he went through hell playing in the NFL. I don't know. I guess it's not the worst thing in the world. You know, it's a turn of phrase. I understand that. But I mean, he put himself up for a lot of that criticism. You know, he's an easy target now because he did it to himself. This is what happens, man. You get your jersey number retired after two seasons with Colorado. Again, Michael, I don't think we talk about that enough. How ridiculous that is. He played two seasons. Now, again, it's college. They're not often playing that many seasons. But he played two seasons there. What is worthy of retiring a number? Being the best player on a national championship team? Winning the Heisman? Like, for college especially, Mike, because these dudes they're not playing that long. So, you retire his number. He thinks he's going to get drafted in the top five. He sets up the room. Countless other things that he's done over the years. He brought it on himself. I don't have really any sympathy on that side of it. Smitty, I absolutely cannot wait for Annie Agar's first video where she mentions Russini and Vrabel. She is too funny. Should I know that? Should I know that? I should probably know that. I don't know. First of it is text line 888-530-0043. I thought the fact that there's a Yahoo Sports report that has to come out and say the NFL will not be reviewing teams' videos for jokes around Vrabel and Russini. I mean, dude, they would catch some freaking fire if they said we're going to punish a team if they mention Mike Vrabel and Russini. Do you think this story is overblown at all? Or do you think it's receiving the proper amount of criticism and jokes and all that stuff? Do you think it's over the top?
No, I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, The further this goes, the more information we see about this, the longer apparently this relationship has gone on, it's a terrible look. And for those that are trying to, I'm in the minority because I don't think it's that big of a deal, you're just wrong. Well, Brady, no, it's the personal lives. Don't get into it. I mean, this is the thing about sports, and this is the thing about being a celebrity. It's not always personal, especially when it affects your job. And it did, and it does. It affected his job, Michael. He wasn't there for day two of the NFL draft because he was, I don't know if he was getting counseling, but he said his family needed him at that point. His family needed him because of what he did to put himself in that situation. So it's not about like, hey, you can't be getting into someone's personal life. It affects the thing that we follow and we cover.
And you bring something very important when you say celebrity. There is actual legal precedent for a public figure. Like, public figures are treated differently in the eyes of the law in certain cases than people who aren't public figures. Like, it is the standard of the burden of proof for things like slander is different for just your regular average Joe than it is for a public figure.
Yeah,
so they brought this upon themselves.
This is why, like, that small few that's trying to say this is a nothing burger and we shouldn't be talking about it like this or making jokes or even discussing whether or not Mike Vrabel should have a long-term future as a head coach in the NFL. I'll tell you this, man, regardless of how it goes down with the Patriots, like, if he gets fired from the Patriots ever, which, again, they were just in the Super Bowl, so we're very far from that, I think. Would he ever get hired again? Do you think anybody would ever hire Mike Vrabel?
As an assistant, not a head coach.
Yeah, he would be on a staff probably somewhere, I think. But Eastside Chris talking about the Shedeur Sanders scars on his back, that is insulting. Yeah, I think that saying that he went through hell, I don't know. I guess I don't have, it's a phrase, but scars on his back, I don't know what that, like, are we talking literal? Are we talking literal scars? I mean, it wasn't a good situation. He was probably humbled a little bit. Whole show is blaming Shedeur Sanders for going through hell on the Twitter line here. Oh, man, the hashtag coach prime cultist will have no choice but to take this personally. I mean, come on. Tell me, even if you're a Shedeur Sanders fan, tell me that he didn't put himself through this. He could have not did the whole draft thing, the whole room deal. He could have not talked about how great he is and how he's going to be a high draft pick and Shedeur Sanders going out or Deion Sanders going out on Twitter clapping back at fans on X saying, my son's going to be drafted in the top 10. Where's your son going? I mean, those are things that set you up for this. And saying things like, hey, my kid went through hell as a backup quarterback, as the second quarterback that they drafted, the fact that he got a chance to start really is amazing. And I watched their schedule release, which was actually pretty good. It was like a Street Fighter type of theme or arcade type of theme. Shedeur Sanders is featured there. He's on it. So they're trying to spin this that there's a good chance that Shedeur Sanders is going to be the face of the organization, at least at the quarterback position. Great. Fine. I just thought it's just an odd phrase to hear it like that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Here's a good one. ACC supports the 24-team college football playoff model. They say it gives hope to all teams. This is why I'm for it. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. We talked a little bit about this the other day with Brian when he stepped in for Michael. He's talking exactly about the expansion in the way that I want to see the expansion as a local fan. He went on to say, when you're leaving national championship contending teams out of the playoff, you don't have the right number. We suffered through it with Florida State when the field was 4, and I know other schools have suffered for it. And I've said this very directly. Notre Dame was a college football playoff worthy team this year. If you're going to ask presidents and chancellors and boards to continue to invest in their football programs, it's really important that they have hope, that they have an opportunity at the beginning of the season to get into the playoff. Hey, there you go. You got a Power 4 conference guy saying It's a great model to give all teams hope. And that's where I'm kind of leaning. It's tough because if I'm just looking at this from a different lens, I'm not thinking about the Pac-12, I'm not thinking about Colorado State, then I would say 16 is the perfect number. 16 is the perfect number for the playoffs. But if I'm looking at it from that local lens, knowing that there's a better chance for Colorado State to get into the playoffs or have hope to get into the playoffs, then or any team, you know, this is Mountain West included, because I'll continue to follow that conference. This gives you more hope that you could get in potentially, because last year, again, Tulane and James Madison, they were in. They would have still been in with the new model. But I just wonder if we're going to just, it's going to simplify it, I think, and we kind of get away. I'm curious, Mike, do you think they'll go with the highest ranked? I guess it doesn't matter, because the highest ranked G6 champ will still be the highest ranked. So are we going to just get rid of that and just go top 24? Just top 24, and we'll seed it how it's ranked.
I think it's going to be top 20-something, and then your pity votes. So, you know, you have, oh, you don't have enough of this G, so we're going to put in
I don't think so.
This G
there. Well, there's going to be one G. There's going to be one in there. For at least everything that I've read is there will be a guaranteed spot. So even if a G6 school is not in the top 24, if they're the highest ranked champion, they'll get a spot in. Part of me likes it, but if I don't know. I still think if you go top 24, you're going to have a G6 school in. They're going to be in there. There's going to be a G6 school that's in the top 25, right? Has to be. How many years have we, that'd be a good AI thing to Google, Michael. How many years has a G6 school not been ranked at the end of the season in the top 25? We'll dig that up and talk about it coming up next. 22 minutes after the hour, the Broncos got their schedule. Colin Cowherd had something to say about the Broncos schedule. He's kind of dipping into the conspiracy theory of it all. Is he justified in these comments? We'll play it back for you and let you hear it later on in the program. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for The Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to the show. I want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. It is Friday, and you guys, you got to try. You got to stop by today because of the beverage of the week is Lucky One Lemonade. That's going to be your new summer favorite. I'm almost positive. They're available in 12 packs and four flavors like original, peach, raspberry, and blueberry. And they're going to be you can be trying that out today at On the Rocks Liquor from 4 to 7 o'clock. They're going to be giving free samples out, so you can try it. That is perfect for the summer months. Lucky One Lemonade. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Okay, I get what you're saying, Eastside Chris. I probably won't go through that one. But Smitty, yeah, tweeting out, you know, whole show's blaming Shedeur Sanders for going through hell. I'm not, like, blaming him. I'm just saying that the media, the attacks, whatever, he brought that on. He brought that on by him being who he is. And I there's moments I've been a big fan, not a big fan, but a fan of Shedeur. He was fun to watch. He was really fun to watch with Colorado. And I guess I go back and forth on the Coach Prime stuff too. I'm in that similar world. So I just don't have sympathy. I hear that and I'm like, really? He went through hell? I mean, they're all doing it. All quarterbacks are experiencing that. Everybody goes through at some point in their career where they're the backup or they were drafted later than they thought. I mean, cry me a river, man. I don't have sympathy for you, bro. I just don't. I mean, especially when there are people that are actually going through, you know, probably something a little bit closer to actual hell. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, how are we feeling about the Denver Broncos schedule? It is a tough schedule, man. I mean, we knew these were the opponents, but did we see them being stacked up this way? At Kansas City, not a playoff team, but I think I would pick them to return to the playoffs. Jacksonville, a playoff team. Los Angeles Rams, a playoff team. San Francisco, a playoff team. The Chargers, same. And, of course, the Seattle Seahawks, Super Bowl. That's all in your first six games? It does lead you to kind of question. You know, who did Sean Payton piss off? Because, guys, there's a realistic shot that in those first six games, it certainly wouldn't completely knock you out. You know, you could start 0-6 and that would be bad. Is there a world where you could see that happening? Sure. I think if you can find a way to split before you go to Arizona, you'd be all right. Yeah, you'd be all right. That's going to be important, though, to win three, because you should win at Arizona. You're home against Kansas City. Then you're at Carolina, home against the Raiders, at Pittsburgh, home against Miami. I mean, the schedule after the bye week, save for Buffalo and New England, Buffalo, New England, and Los Angeles. Those are all going to be tough. And I actually do agree with you, Go Pokes. I think the Raiders might be much better than people expect. I'm just curious which route they go with the quarterback. But if you can be 3-3 to start the season, I think that would be considered a pretty substantial victory. Michael, I don't know if we have that Colin Cowherd clip, but I'd like to play it at some point because he's going into the conspiracy mode for the Broncos in their first six games. Basically, saying it's on Sean Payton, kind of. Sean Payton has a bad relationship with a lot of NFL execs and rubs people the wrong way. Here's Cowherd on that.
Now it's interesting. Who are they punishing? And I believe this. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I believe this. I think Sean Payton has a mixed relationship with the league office. He's taken shots at quarterbacks. He's taken Russell Wilson. He's taken shots at coaches. NFL does not like friendly fire. Zip it. Look at Denver's schedule. They're punishing them. The first six games, that's the toughest six-game schedule I have ever seen in my life, and I'm a geek on this stuff. I'm a nerd on schedules. I've never seen anything like that. At Chiefs, Jags, Rams, at Niners, at Chargers, at Seahawks. They could have thrown an Arizona game in there, a Panthers game in there. They could have thrown that Steeler game in there, the Raider game in there. Nope. Front heavy with Bo Nix coming off a surgery. I believe, and again, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I think Sean Payton has irked a few people. He's been outspoken. A little friendly fire sometimes in the league. That feels like they're trying.
That's just, I'm sorry. I clicked one other schedule just to look at it. Is the Broncos' first six that much worse than what the Bills have to do? The Bills go to Houston, first game of the season. Then they're home against the Lions. I think the Lions will probably bounce back. They're home against the Chargers. They're home against the Patriots. They're at Los Angeles. Then they're at Las Vegas. But then home against the Ravens. I don't buy it. I don't think I buy that, Mike. Are you in that world? They try to get at Sean Payton here?
Sean Payton, I mean, if they were going to get at him, they would have gotten at him earlier. I mean, they suspended him for a year. It's all over. I think he I don't think his relationship with the league was as rocky as Al Davis's was. Like, he and Al, and there was always that conspiracy that the league hated Al Davis and Al Davis hated the league. I don't buy that they hate him and he hates them. I don't buy that this is them punishing the Broncos. I mean, I mean,
it's a hard schedule.
It looks tough, but frankly, it's a little too far-fetched.
I mean, everybody in the AFC West has a much easier start to the season. You know, the Raiders play the Dolphins to start the season. Then they're at the Chargers. Then they have the Saints. Yeah, I get it. We knew these opponents were coming. I don't think we were under the impression that it was going to be, you know, this stacked to start the season. Yeah, Smitty says, keep in mind Sean and Cowherd are friends from the Fox TV days. Yes, Sean Payton and Cowherd are friends. And Cowherd gets stuff from Sean on occasion. So I'm sure that discussion might have come up in a text line. Man, who the hell did you piss off? I can get into a little bit of a conspiracy theory, but you're going to have to play them anyway. Does it matter if it's back to back to back to back to back to back? You could be 0-6, but you could, if you lost all six of those games, those are going to be six losses anyway. So I've always looked at it like this. Yeah, it's a brutal schedule, but you're going to play them anyway. If, let's say, theoretically, you lose all six games, you could lose them spread out, or you could lose them all in a row. Does it make it more difficult that they're the next game? I don't know. You're going to have to play them anyway.
And analysts, this is conspiracy theory for us, for people on radio talking about sports, and for fans. Like, this is conspiracy theory for us. I don't think players and coaches look at it quite as much.
Sure.
They might this is a tough stretch, but ultimately they're going to be doing the same thing.
You got to play them anyway. Why does it matter? I mean, I don't know.
You could very well lose them. Basically the same thing. Well, you got to play who's on the schedule. Well, this week we're playing this game.
I know it sounds cliche, but you do have to play them anyway. Does it make it 10 times worse if you're playing them back to back? And some people could argue playing that tough of a schedule really sharpens you up. And Sean Payton is typically around the 500s when it comes to games in September. So there's three games in September. I guess I just don't look at it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. Honestly, let fans and some sports people speculate that, but
I don't know why we got to complain
and the players
so much
gonna look
about
at it. The same thing.
People are pissed because the Monday night game is at Kansas City. Good. I would rather it be in Kansas City in September. Much rather that opportunity. Because Patrick Mahomes, whether if he is actually back, which I believe he is 100% coming back for that game, I don't think that would be the first Monday night game of the season. If that were the case, guarantee you, here's my conspiracy, NFL executives picked up the phone and they called Kansas City and said, hey, what are the chances Mahomes is or isn't coming back for that first game of the season? Hey, everything's looking really good. Yeah, no, he'll be ready by September 14th. Perfect. Otherwise, I think the Broncos, Bills would have probably been, or even Patriots would have probably been the Monday night game.
Now, that's a conspiracy theory I can get behind.
It's true. It's 100% true. You don't schedule that for your first Monday night game. Mike, we just learned. What did we learn today? I know that's later. The NFL is the king at marketing. And yeah, sometimes they miss. They schedule a game they think is going to be big, and the team just didn't show up, like the Broncos-Chiefs game. That was supposed to be a monster game, and it just turned out not to be because of the Chiefs season and Mahomes getting hurt. But in the offseason, before the games start, and you know the health of these players, yeah, they're not going to put Denver Broncos against a Mahomes-less Chiefs team for the first Monday night game of the season. That there is zero chance of that. So, but that all being said, I love that the Broncos get to play the Chiefs on the road. They have to do it anyway, guys. You as a fan, it should not matter. They have to do it anyway. So this whole, why are we not getting the home game? Why our first six games are so... Guys, you stop. You had an easy schedule last year. The NFL forgave Sean Payton for 1 year. They had an easy schedule last year, guys. This is how it works.
Yeah, well, this exactly. It is how it works. If you do really well,
and they did,
they give you tough teams to play. If you do terrible, you play the Cleveland Browns.
And then what happens the rest of the schedule? After those six, things ease up quite a bit. So, again, you got to play them anyway. Does it make it more difficult to play them back-to-back? I don't think so. I think you are probably going to be in a hurry to be playing some of your best football to start the season. So, yeah. Texter says, I seriously doubt there's a conspiracy, but Sean wants this narrative out there. Absolutely. You say Sean doesn't, he's probably not thinking about it. I would imagine. I would just guess that he and Colin Cowherd had conversations. And Sean's not 100% pleased with it. But I just say, listen, if you're going to lose all six, you could very well lose them scattered throughout the season. Let's get them out of the way early and see what you got. If you think you're a Super Bowl team, and most fans do, and you think Bo Nix is the second coming of John Elway, and a lot of fans do, then this should be no problem. You should probably win. You should probably go 4-2 to start the season, and then your Super Bowl hopes are really sky high. This is a big year, Mike. This is going to be a tough schedule, but also a big year for Bo Nix. People ask me a lot, like off the air and stuff, where I am on Bo. I am right in the middle. And I know as a sports show host, the rule is I got to be strong on my take, right? I got to go this way or that way. I don't do a lot of fence riding. But for this, for Bo, I'm definitely on the fence. I don't know. I don't believe right now he's as good as everyone says he is, but I also know he's a good quarterback. I'm just not ready to say he's up there. Even though, yeah, the numbers, great year last year. I understand that a lot of that came in the fourth quarter. I'm not ready to say he's tier one quarterback, Mike. I'll do my quarterback tiers later this summer. But he's not. You can agree with me on that, right? Bo Nix is not a tier one quarterback.
Bo Nix is the greatest of all time. Okay. And
is this no hope for you? Tier two. We're going to give him tier two. That's fair. I think that's fair.
I think he had a lot of tears from me when the Broncos lost last year when he broke his ankle.
Why do
a lot
you?
Of tears.
Why? Just give a thought. Give me a thought, Michael. It can't all just be cartoons in your brain all the time. Give me a thought. Is Bo Nix a tier one quarterback?
He's gotta do more.
So he's a tier two.
You can't be tier one right off the bat. You can't have like one great season
tier one
and be tier one. You can't have like a couple of good seasons and be tier one. Give me more consistency.
Tier one is the best of the best.
You're not there yet.
You have arrived. You're a shoe-in to get into the Hall of Fame. All of that.
You're not a shoe-in to get into the Hall of Fame your first 2 years. First 3 years. You're not a shoe-in.
Yeah, I mean, my tiers go like this. Tier one is the best of the best. Tier two is good, not great. That is exactly my opinion of Bo Nix. Good, not great. Tier three, consider your options after the season. Tier four is rookies or bottom of the barrel. I had Bo Nix there 2 years ago because he was a rookie. He is definitely not tier four. He's not tier three today. Tier three is meh. Consider your options after the season. You could get there at some point in the middle of the season, but if I'm asked to predict whether or not I think Bo Nix is going to meet those expectations and he will be the guy, I do believe he will. I think Jalen Waddle's going to help. I need to see that calmness that we saw in the fourth quarter. For some reason, a guy kind of jittery, gets out of the pocket and gets a little happy feet sometimes. For some reason, in the most critical of moments, he didn't have that in the fourth quarter. That's why we were able to make all of these comebacks. But I don't know that you can survive like that. That's a crazy way to live. I don't know that you can survive like that for another season. So we're going to need to see it from quarter one. Because there were plenty of games where he just disappeared. It wasn't good. 43 minutes after the hour, Michael. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Greeley, could your budget use a boost right now? The Lift Up program is here to help. But don't wait. The application deadline is coming up fast on May 31st. Pretty simple process. Visit greeleyco.gov/liftup, and qualifying residents could receive up to $100 through the low-income food and tax rebate, plus a $150 credit on your water utility bill. Real relief for groceries and monthly expenses right when you need it most. Check out that website, greeleyco.gov/liftup. All right, coming up, we're gonna be joined. We got a meeting of the mindless happening here in the 1 o'clock hour. No movie review today because Michael didn't do his homework. You didn't watch Field of Dreams, buddy.
I went to bed at 8:45.
Okay.
And got up at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't need the story of your life. You can just tell me you didn't watch the movie. That's fine.
I am so tired, Brady.
Okay.
Do you know how many dreams I had about the apocalypse last night?
Oh, man. You're doing
many,
all right.
Many dreams about the apocalypse.
Okay, the apocalypse. What do I say to that? How do I respond to that? What am I supposed to do with that information?
Give me $5.
I've offered you $100 to pick the Broncos to lose a game, so I'm not just going to give you $5.
But that would be dishonest.
49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
All year, you heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up, we'll bring the fellas in here. We'll mix it up a little bit, Michael. We got the dude down the hall, Derbs, and then Tanner Schwint's going to join us as well. Let's do the week in review, man. What a week it was. A week that saw the Colorado Avalanche, get past the Wild. That was a great series. Really, every game was for the most part, pretty good. I think game three was rough, obviously, for the Avs, but that finding a way. In game five, just finding a way, down 3-0 at one point, 3-1 to start the third, still 3-1 with under 4 minutes to go. And somehow, some way, how did Nathan MacKinnon, I'm still wondering, how did he make that goal, Michael? The goal he missed.
Magic.
In the World Cup. He made that, though, or the cup, or whatever it was. All that and more coming up next. We'll talk a little more about the Broncos' schedule. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.